Cause of Death, the podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
It will happen every now and then in my podcast.
Cause of Death.
That we dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that I mean that liquids such as blood as an element will be the smallest problem.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
I'm looking forward to taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany. And my experience can be listened to here now.
Cause of Death.
Cause of Death. Courage. The heart in the right place. In Alsace, France, the crime scene cleaner finds a gruesome crime scene and a man who deserves his deep respect. Cause of Death, the podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel. My name is Marcel Engel, and I work as a crime scene cleaner. It will happen every now and then in my podcast that we dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that I mean that liquids, such as blood as an element, will be the smallest problem. I am looking forward to taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany, and my experiences can be listened to here, now. Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel. Hi, nice to have you back and happy to share a crime scene cleanup story from my world, and we can relive experiences of crime scene cleanups together. There are people who have a lion's heart. This means that they have an incredible civil courage, a willingness to help others in dangerous situations, regardless of losses, without fear of being harmed themselves. And exactly for this, I have experienced a crime scene cleanup. It was many, many years ago, more than 15 years ago. I was called by a survivor, the daughter, who told me that her parents had been torn from their lives. They were both beaten to death. I knew that at the time, that's all she could tell me. In a broken voice, she just managed telling me, and I didn't really want to ask further. That's not proper. You don't do that in a person's most difficult hour. And we actually do it for the purpose of knowing what's in store for us, that we can plan the workload a little bit in advance and, if necessary, travel there in twos or threes. And that is the only background. But in that case, as I said, not possible. I couldn't ask her to do that. And since it was so long ago, there was no way to find out quickly via the internet. That wasn't feasible either. Well, this assignment then took me to beautiful Alsace, France. The job was in a country house. I knew that at the time and then drove through this very scenic area to the location. It was summer, and a country road led me to a really great, somewhat secluded property that was fenced off by a huge horse gate. When I stood in front of the gate, I noticed that the fence continued endlessly along the country road. So I already noticed, wow, that must be a larger property. You could drive into this property from the gate. What surprised me was that instead of a concrete driveway, there was a dirt road leading up to the house. A dirt road that looked like it was made by a tractor, with little potholes in it. The house at the end of the dirt road was a brick house, looked really chic and quite cozy. And I rang the bell there, and a young man opened. In the background, I heard children, and saw them jumping around. I asked them first of all whether I am in the correct place for the cleaning. As it turned out, the man was only the tenant of this house, and the actual house was on a hill that was 500 meters away in a small forest avenue. And there stood the actual country house. One could recognize that from a distance, then from this entrance door. The young man asked me if he should accompany me. He knew about the crime scene and didn't say much else. He spoke perfect German, and I accepted his offer with thanks and went up there with him. The country house was quite large, so a living level downstairs had certainly 150 to 200 square meters. It was a two-story house with a red tile roof. When I arrived, I could put my vehicle in front of an old barn, and this barn was converted. You could see that with two large double doors, which were also opened, and there were two great classic cars in it, and a huge old Rolls-Royce, still with such an Emily on the front. Anyone who knows cars and knows Rolls-Royce knows what I mean. So that's this brand symbol figure of this brand and quite well known. I didn't know anything about the daughter's parents. I didn't know what they did, who they were, or how this crime scene came about. That was also not relevant for me at first. I then went to the house, packed my things, and then went up a small four-stage stone staircase. On the left side, a small terrace was built in front of the house. On the facade were benches and an old wine barrel set up as a table, and there were also wine glasses. Partly, there was still wine in the glasses and an opened wine bottle, which was also not empty. Wine was growing on the facade itself. It was super cozy. And what I asked myself, well, a crime scene happened here, and there are open wine glasses. So the situation seemed a bit strange to me at first. What the tenant told me is then, after I asked him, well, people like to drink a little wine here. The landlords have always liked to invite people here. It became like a ritual to them. In the afternoon, between 4:30 and 5, they would open their bottle of wine, sit down and sing, laugh, dance, or just sit there. And from the country house, you had a great view of the valley. Among other things, you could see the lower house and the country road. And that looked really, really, really idyllic. So I then unlocked this large wooden wing door with an ancient lock. The door squeaked when I opened it. I went in and could already see blood on the floor. It was an old stone floor, reddish painted brick. You could already see black, rusty blood directly at the entrance door 1/2 meter behind it. On the floor, among other things, grinding marks. There was a coat rack hanging on the right. A small dresser on the left. A mirror. It was smashed. The dresser, the drawers were torn out. The things somehow cleared out, rummaged through, searched. You could already see in the hallway that the Criminal Investigation Department had taken steps to identify possible perpetrators by putting powder, graphite powder, everywhere and had started their investigations accordingly. On the right side was a large white wooden door with small rectangles of glass. They were broken. Some of the broken glass was lying in the hallway. And then I pushed the door open a bit, and you could see traces of fighting. So everything was really in a wild mess. A couch, a huge cognac-colored one, made of great old leather, had toppled over. A chair. There was an old fireplace there. There were fireplace dishes with a fireplace hook and broom. Everything lay crisscrossed. Potted plants that had fallen over on the floor and were smashed. The potting soil was distributed everywhere in the room, and also on the couch was again quite a lot of blood. I then told the tenant, who had followed me all the time, he should not be angry with me, but I do the crime scene cleaning here alone. He then told me, but I can tell you, if you want, something more about the crime scene. Yes, and then he told me the story. It must have been a Saturday afternoon when he last saw the owners, and on that day they were alone, happily enjoying themselves on their terrace and waved down how he looked up at them when he was standing at the paddock with his children. And he had told me then he had still thought, oh, they are in a good mood today. And it was a bright, sunny day, and it was just a beautiful afternoon, and then on Sunday, he no longer sees them. And normally, they would tell the neighbor when they were leaving to please look after the house for a bit. And on the following Sunday, when he was actually waiting to see them in the afternoon, that wasn't the case. But although he had a bit of a bad feeling, he didn't see any reason to follow up at first. After all, there were two of them. But when another day passed and he didn't see them on Monday, he decided to drive up to the owners. On Mondays, he had to work, and when he came from work, the owners always waved to him happily from the terrace. So he drove up in his car and then told me that it had rained that day, and that's why he also made the 500 meters by car. And when he drove up in the car, it was already slightly dim. What seemed so unusual to him then was that everywhere in the house, the lights were off. That was normally never the case, because although they had a great house and a great property, they were always very concerned about saving energy. And on that day, the lights were on everywhere, on the lower level and also on the upper floor. That was so unusual. Well, he wanted to ring the bell first, and when he thought, I'm going to ring the bell now, he told me that he somehow heard unusual noises from inside. It sounded like a moaning and wailing. Then he immediately got a funny feeling in his stomach and he went around the house to the terrace and could see what was happening through the window. He had the view into the living room. His landlord was lying on the floor, the couch overturned, gagged, tied up, bleeding badly, and he instinctively said, "I have to call the police." Now, one must say that was so long ago. Not everyone had a cell phone at that time, and also with a receipt, particularly in a rural region, it looked rather badly. To call the police, he had to go back down to his house. Through the door in the hallway, he could see that the woman was also lying on the floor, and a man had just knelt over the woman. And then he reacted very courageously, and I commemorate him for that. He then told me that there was wood for the fireplace on the terrace. There was an axe stuck in it. Then he took this axe. It was a big axe, and he smashed the window with the axe and then really ran screaming towards the alleged perpetrator of violence. The perpetrator turned white as a sheet and had no mask on and fled immediately. He then called the police. The two landlords then died from their severe head injuries. Yes, and what happened? The perpetrator himself was a robber. Probably knew that the couple, or rather the man, was a gold dealer in his previous professional life, and he probably suspected that there were larger assets in the house in the form of gold, gold bars, gold coins, or whatever. And that was practically his inducement to attack these two people, to torture them on that Saturday night and over 2 days. And the woman herself probably died while the neighbor was still on site, and the husband, the landlord, then at a later time in the hospital. The deceased man could, in his last hours in the hospital, still describe exactly what had happened. The two have probably begged for their lives. The criminal conveyed that they have no money or gold at home, but that he can get money from the bank just to get out of his incredibly dangerous situation. And in this crime scene, you could read very, very, very much what was actually happening. This crime scene happened not only on the first floor, but also on the second floor. I have done this for an extremely long time, and when you've been a crime scene cleaner for so long, you can really reconstruct the traces of blood all around it. You're able to recreate this movie of what happened for yourself as an image of the crime scene, the motion picture in your own mind. And that was terrible. I was on the top floor, and that's where the actual event had happened. There was just an extreme amount of blood spread around a room. You could see that the perpetrator had severed some limbs, which I was able to confirm after the fact. And he had probably chopped off the woman's fingers in front of her husband, one at a time or in one cut. I don't know. So the fingers were missing on both hands, except for the thumbs. A brutal act. Unbelievable. The perpetrator then tied off the fingers so that she would not die immediately due to the massive loss of blood, and thereby tried to practically elicit a secret from the husband, which did not exist at all. I also saw a tuft of head hair sticking to the stairs. There were, I didn't count them, but I felt like there were 100 hairs on them, grayish long hairs, 20 centimeters long, where you could clearly see that a person had been pulled over these stairs with his head. You have to imagine that mentally. He took the woman by the legs and pulled her down the stairs, and the head must have hit the ground every time, so long until the scalp has peeled off, and this scalp has then stuck there. And you could also see that the perpetrator kept getting utensils for torture in the kitchen downstairs. There were lots of things lying around that were covered in blood. For example, a pair of garden scissors, and he probably cut the husband many times, probably with these garden shears. They were rose scissors, half-bent scissors with a spring mechanism that opened again immediately, and it was also completely covered in blood. Actually, such objects of crime are always taken away immediately by the police. I don't know why that wasn't the case back then. In any case, I registered it. The police then also came by and then told me it could be cleaned. What I didn't know was that the perpetrator had already been caught at the time of the operation. So, it was someone who was quite well known from the criminal milieu. But that's all I found out, and he must have attacked and tortured this couple in a brutal way on the basis of a tip. At this point, one thing really has to be said. This man, this neighbor, and he didn't give me the impression that he wanted to somehow stand out as a hero, who at that moment had laid down his personal life for his neighbors. This person has used his life to help others. Personally, I think it's not only honorable, but it's quite a great accomplishment. And that's also what this podcast is about for me. to give people strength and to encourage them to be courageous, namely, when weaker people need help. That's actually it from my crime scene today, and if you liked it, feel free to subscribe to my channel. We are also on Instagram, Marcel Engel. You can also find me on Facebook. We have a YouTube channel. There, I am under Marcel Engel, the Crime Scene Cleaner. And I would be very, very happy if you tune in again next time for a new episode of my podcast, Cause of Death. Until then, ciao, your Marcel. That's it for the new episode of Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel, head of his own special cleaning unit and crime scene cleaner at more than 12,000 locations around the world. What can Marcel clean up for you? Anytime, anywhere in the world. Get in touch or just click through to MarcelEngel.com. Empathic, profound, honest. Cause of death, guaranteed not to go cold. Be there. I'm looking forward to it. Subscribe to the season and you won't be late for an episode.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner, Marcel Engel. Cause of death.